I was 22 when I got my first job at a newspaper. I was so new to it that I was still getting comfortable with the idea of being called a journalist. But after months of working and building relationships, a really magnanimous editor noticed my potential and entrusted me with my first ever big story. And I was sent to interview this big-time CEO on a reporting assignment. It was a big deal. I couldn't believe myself. I just went all the way out. I researched, talked to a lot of people, and drew up a list of questions to get the best interview possible. It was D-Day. I reached the location with my Zoom recorder and a notebook. And despite all my nervousness, and to my surprise, the interview went extremely well. Who'd have thought? We shook hands and I walked out the door feeling confident. That's when I decided to quickly check the sound quality of my recordings. Well, there was nothing to check because I simply had not pressed record. I ran back to the conference room to the CEO to ask him for another chance. I was just like, hey, hi, I'm so sorry for me being talking to you right now, but I just wanted to tell you that, you know, just thank you for the wonderful opportunity. Have a great day. I just couldn't get myself to ask them for a redo. I thought it would ruin my reputation forever as a journalist. Now I had nothing left to do except confess to my editor that I had squandered my big, precious opportunity and that I may not be able to deliver a 2,000-word article. All I can do is 200 with my unreliable, shallow notes. It was absolutely soul-crushing. Why is that we often fail so miserably at things we believe we are good at? Let's be honest, I can't be the only one. In your early career, you will make a mistake. It's almost near impossible to get it right all of the times. But when you do make a mistake, how do you get back from it? In this episode, I spoke to some experts who have truly mastered the art and science of bouncing back after you've dropped the ball at work. How do you regain trust, go into damage control, mend the situation, and most importantly, prove yourself? Coming right up, welcome to The First 2 Years. I am Akshaya Chandrasekharan, and this is the show where we ask and answer the toughest questions around work every Tuesday. Karthik Rao is the Chief People Officer of the Good Glam Group. He leads more than 2,300 people at the company. And Karthik tells me the company has one of the youngest leadership teams. And he believes some of the defining mistakes he made in his early career and the lessons he learned from it sort of helped him create this workplace culture of nurturing young talent right from the get-go. For instance, when he was 24, in his first 2 years, the company he was working for at the time was organizing this large-scale, high-stakes year-end event. And just a couple of days before the main event, Karthik had taken a sick day off work. He was well within his rights to do so, so he returned after taking the leave he was entitled to. And how his manager at the time, Rajesh Rai, responded to his leave of absence took him completely by shock.
I went the next day and Rajesh told me, why were you on a leave? And I said, I was unwell, and I got pissed off with him. That why are you asking me why did you take a leave? Because I was unwell. And he told me a line which stayed with me till today. And he said, you can't fall sick on important days, Karthik. And I really got offended. I was like, I am unwell. What can I do?
Karthik felt like his manager Rajesh was being unreasonable. He could feel himself going into the fight or flight mode. He went on arguing passionately about how unfair this is to him, and his defensive rambling began, and Rajesh said this.
Listen, hear me out. If there is a World Cup match on Friday, making sure from Monday to Thursday, Sachin Tendulkar doesn't go out, party late night, doesn't eat junk food is a part of the preparation of that main day. So if you don't think that preparation is part of the main day, then I think you see very short term.
We'll hear more from Karthik later, but right now I want you to imagine you are Karthik right in the moment. Think about what happens when you realize you've made a mistake. Like physically, your shoulders tighten, your heart starts racing, breath gets shallower, and psychologically, your mind just starts working against you. You experience this intense emotion called shame, which is profoundly different from guilt, by the way. Guilt is, I've made a mistake. And shame is, I am the mistake. Guilt can still see the separation from you and your actions. But shame, it's personal. And shame, unlike guilt, isn't a tool for change. Instead, it sets you back from moving forward. But if we never learn how to recover from a mistake and handle the emotions around it, we'll never improve. When you're in your early career, all mistakes can feel devastating, like the be-all, end-all of things, because you have no healthy frame of reference to accurately gauge the severity of a mistake, or the institutional knowledge to predict what kind of consequences you're going to face. Take tennis. It's a game known for strategy and skill. And a tennis player can typically make two kinds of errors, forced error and unforced error. Unforced error is when a player attempts a routine ground stroke, but their shot just goes wide off the court, hitting the back fence instead. This is simply a slip-up on the player's part, a missed opportunity, and it could be because of lack of focus, lack of preparation, or mental lapse. Now, forced error, on the other hand, is when a player is punching above their weight, trying a new strategy that is completely out of their comfort zone. And may take years of skillful maneuvering to get it right, but initially, it is just a series of forced errors. So essentially, forced error is made consciously, almost necessary to growth, I'd say. But unforced errors are, well, dropping the ball, quite literally.
Make good mistakes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just make sure you don't make unforced errors, because that's something you can control. But if it's a forced error, you got a project above your weight, you got a problem statement which you had never thought of, it's okay to make mistakes. So I think what then it did was it ensured I don't beat myself up on every mistake. I was okay and little kinder to me when I realized, okay, this is tough. Rather than when I would make a stupid mistake, I was very hard on myself. Rather than having a blanket approach on every time I mistake, oh, I'm so bad, right? So it's very important to get that nuance and that framework in life, which really helped me.
Karthik now realizes that while he was just emotionally reacting to the situation at that point in time, Rajesh was trying to teach him a mental model, a way to think about things. And he says he's grateful for it now. This kind of thing is constantly happening in our lives. When a coworker or a boss calls out a mistake we did, we tend to block them out completely. There are actual studies showing that our instinctive response is to become defensive and do that. And there are three ways people typically try to get over a mistake. One, we go to our cheerleaders to complain and get reassurance. Our friends, favorite like-minded colleagues, mom, who will tell you about how you're nothing but perfect and everything that happened to you is completely unfair. Support system. They have a role to play, sure, but you also need a challenge system, a network of people who will tell you the stuff you don't want to hear, but must hear. The second way in which we overcome a mistake is by externalizing the problem. And why do people externalize a mistake?
It makes them feel innocent. Cost of innocence is impotence. We fundamentally don't talk in first principles where I am responsible for an event. I'm usually an outcome of an event which was external. Your choice of words are, I got stuck in a meeting, so meeting got me stuck. I'm innocent. Yeah. The word should be, I chose to stay in that meeting because we were discussing something important. Thank you for your patience.
Third most common way people respond to a mistake is finding distractions to just get away from it for the time being, for now. Go out for a drink with your friends, endless scrolling on social media, just about anything to not think about it. This kind of procrastination is extremely normal, by the way. It's difficult to sit with that discomfort of having made a mistake. In reality, there is no running away for too long. You have to come back and deal with it at some point, right? So how do you finally face that discomfort and own up to your mistakes?
I can think of one example where I actually believed that I would get fired. So I was in a M&A project, a deals project, which was fairly large in terms of the value.
Shripriya used to head software products at Aether Energy, easily India's best known electric scooter maker, but she started her career in management consulting right after her MBA from IIM Bangalore.
This was a case where we were all under very high pressure. Sleep was a luxury. I remember actually having done, I think it was my 36th or like 32nd or 36th hour of constantly working. So even like say, sleep would be like maybe after that, like say a few hours and then come back and start working again.
Mm.
So in that situation, the client meeting was about to start and I was making some final changes or edits to the massive Excel that I had, which had the valuation of the company. I finished it and then I sent it over to my manager and then they sent it over to the client and in the next minute, the client meeting started. So when the client opened the Excel sheet, he first saw that the final number of the valuation wasn't making sense. It wasn't what we had earlier discussed in the earlier revisions. Got really angry and just said like, you know, to get our act together and slammed the phone.
The entire room fell silent. The partner wanted to have a word with the manager outside and the guessing game began as to whose mistake it was in the 20-member team. Shripriya didn't have to participate in that game because she already knew it was her fault.
Yeah, so obviously we all knew that it was me who had sent the file. I realized that I actually ended up sending the wrong version of the file in that last minute panic to the manager. So it was an older version where the numbers obviously didn't make sense. I think...
And she completely froze, she says. And she willed for the earth to open up and swallow her whole.
And I honestly, truly believe that I would get fired, if not from the company, at least for sure from that project, which obviously is a big deal too, because getting fired from a project is actually as serious as, like, it basically puts you up into, like, a performance improvement kind of a situation.
Well, thankfully, none of what she imagined happened. Her manager took the fall for her and he was compassionate enough to understand that it was the number of sleepless nights and the near burnout situation that led to this mistake. In fact, he didn't even probe her till she was ready to have the conversation on her own. I'm just curious to know the end of the story, right? Like, did you bring it up then, eventually, on your own?
Actually, I did not. That's the thing. I really took it so personally that you can think of I don't want to use the word trauma, but it was like a little bit like that,
traumatic,
right? In the sense that it wasn't something I was even comfortable to talk about.
23-year-old Shripriya is not alone, right? Shame can really trigger your desire to hide and escape from yourself. Even if you manage to get that sorry out of your system, it's really hard to close the loop, have a deeper discussion about what happened, the why of why, without letting it overwhelm you. And this discussion, it isn't always just with your manager, but also your peers, right? Like in Shripriya's case, a team of 20 people who she believed she had let down. So how can we all get better at owning up to our mistakes in front of our colleagues, peers, and our managers?
And Narayan Murthy said this beautiful line, let the bad news come through the escalators. Good news can come via stairs. I love that. Right? Love that.
Yeah.
So anybody beginning their career, if they can really come up themselves and first talk about what they screwed up before they talk about what all they did well, after a few times, they'll start creating a reputation that this person really can own up things. And that's priceless.
Yeah.
Right?
I can't imagine going into a meeting and telling all the things that I screwed up with first and then following it up with the things that I did right, because now I'm afraid that they will remember me for all the mistakes that I made, because I'm like leaving an impression, you know, all of that. How can I start with all the mistakes I made, you know? So when you're thinking about constantly impressing them and, like, you know, showing your mettle, it's very hard to do something like that. If I'm not cushioned, I always thought, okay, people who are cushioned by years of experience have the capability to do something like that because they know they won't be judged for it. But could I do something like that? I'm not really sure, right?
Mm. But there's a technique. I'm saying there are ways, Akshay.
Yeah.
I'm constantly, why I'm saying is, it is very important to understand just because you don't know doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Now, one really good technique, and this is also true for interviewing, so I'm giving a very big hack away, right? And this is a psychology hack. If you go to the manager and say, hey, listen, I made a mistake and I am scared that you're going to get really angry with me, and that's making me really vulnerable, and I'm even scared to even tell you, can I trust you to understand where I'm coming from, and can I be honest with you? Mistakes delivered well can be learning opportunities. Mistakes delivered well can be contextual learnings. Hey boss, mujhse galti ho gaya. I made a mistake. This is what I did. You give it cold and dry, you're expecting a transactional response back.
Yeah.
So I think there is some magic that people can really do in that period.
Research shows that primacy and recency effects are powerful. What happens first and last in a conversation is usually well remembered. And people just tend to gloss over the middle. So if you learn how to end the conversation in a forward-looking way, outlining steps you might take to avoid this going forward, or simply expressing a sincere apology, those things can help correct their perception of the situation and of you. But timing is everything. When you're having a difficult conversation, your boss or colleague is probably saying things you don't want to hear. And to be able to listen to that non-defensively, to give non-verbal cues like nodding your head or maintaining eye contact, all important to have a productive conversation, but can be very difficult to do. Especially if you're having a go at it immediately after it has happened. For this reason, it's important to take a time out to have that emotional reset.
Take your mind away. I would say, if possible, don't even go back to your desk and work. Just go for a walk around your office campus. Just go to a cafeteria. Just buy whatever your favorite food is. But basically, all I'm saying is, first give it some time. Just breathe.
Yeah.
Do not try to address it. Do not try to go immediately to someone and start having a conversation or so on. Because the truth is, you need to process this first before you can even articulately communicate what happened. And usually when you communicate, you want to communicate the full story of what, why, and basically what you can do going forward.
In case you're wondering how long should your timeout last, research recommends at least 20 minutes, since it will take that much time for bodies to physiologically calm down. But anything more than a day can begin to feed into the negative sentiment. If this happens, there's a good chance your timeout has morphed into a silent battleground of unresolved issues. The prolonged silence between your colleagues, your peers, manager, can build up frustration and erode trust in your relationship. And that's exactly what you don't want. In the aftermath of recovering from a mistake at work, your brain gets into proving mode. It's a primal emotional response. You want to be able to win that lost trust back, get that social capital back, and you want to do all of that as soon as possible. But if you're not careful, this can cause overcompensating, overpromising, or overcorrecting. You will probably take on more than you can realistically handle. And that can lead you down a path of more mistakes, more unmet expectations, and more damaged trust. It's a vicious cycle. But your brain also has a higher level setting, the improving mode. That looks like making promises that are realistic, achievable, and somewhat exceedable. The goal is to find a balance between what people expect you to achieve and what you're actually capable of delivering, which is likely more than what they expect.
Basically, you're now actively thinking about resolution because now you're not bogged down by emotions or the distress because you are past that acceptance stage. So now you're thinking of how I can be better. And you have also recognized that this is an error that is extremely controllable, and hence you could become better on this. So it's not something that was out of your control, out of your hands, and anyone could have made this. So
the TLDR version of this episode would be that once you've realized you've made a mistake, give yourself that 20 minutes to have that emotional reset. But do revisit what happened and try and take accountability for the situation. Go have a conversation when you're out of the damage control mindset. And finally, when you've done the hard part, just remember, the best way to prove yourself is by simply improving, one day at a time. Even as we're recording, I'm constantly looking at the, you know, time being like 7:33. I have to say it. It's almost like now I would never ever make a mistake like that again, right? Like not recording a conversation. Now I'm extra careful, extra prepared, and you know, technology wise. Thank you so much for listening. You can write to me with feedback at aksha@the-ken.com. The first 2 years is produced from the newsroom of the Ken, India's first subscribers only business news platform. This episode was written and hosted by me, Akshay Chandrasekharan, produced by Anushka Mukherjee, and audio engineering by Rajiv Sian. Thank you for tuning in.